This interesting story from the Olympics about a bit of politics today as the Australian boxer Damien Hooper is warned not to wear the Aboriginal flag T-shirt. He had worn a T-shirt with an Aboriginal flag on it, and the Australian officials seem to have hit the roof about this and warned that it's against the rules. They say he's apologised and he won't do it again. It isn't the first time, though, that politics have been part of the Olympics. Sometimes to the dismay of officials and, in the end, the athletes themselves. Richard Waterhouse is Emeritus Professor of History and Authority on Issues of Race in Sport and joins us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Richard.
This is one of many, isn't it?
I don't say that it's one of many, but it's not uncommon, I would have to say that, yeah.
The great story, which has an Australian part to it, is the three proud men of Mexico, 1968.
Yeah, in 1968, there were two African-Americans who finished first and third in the 200-metre sprint, Tommy Smith and John Carlos. And they had been involved in an organisation called the Olympic Project for Human Rights, which originally tried to get African-Americans to boycott the Olympics on issues relating to African-American poverty and civil rights. But what they did instead was to organise in advance for the fact that when they stood on the podium, they would give the black salute, which they did, and they stood there wearing black socks and no shoes, indicating black poverty. But the interesting thing is that the guy who finished second was Peter Norman, who was an Australian, and he was sympathetic to them because he was so opposed to the White Australia policy. And he actually just wore a little badge that was an Olympic Project for Human Rights badge. So that was really Australia's first big major protest at an Olympic Games.
And Peter really paid for that, didn't he?
He did. I mean, strange enough, I mean, there was this whole sort of debate in Australia at that time about keeping politics out of sport, which clearly is an impossibility anyway. And so he was actually branded by the Australian media. He was censored by the Australian Olympic Committee. He wasn't chosen again for the 1972 Olympics.
Even though he had a time which meant he deserved it.
That's right. He qualified, but they didn't. They refused to take him to the Olympics. I mean, it's a wonderful example of principle and bravery, and a man who was way ahead of his time. Because in 1968, you know, I suppose the majority of Australians thought the White Australia was a policy was a bonza thing, really.
And how touching is this? When Peter Norman died in 2006, these two guys, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, they came out from America. They were his pallbearers.
I know. Well, that's extremely touching. But what I think makes it even more touching is that in America, you know, they had been sent home in disgrace in 1968. But in recent years, I mean, they have become valorised. They've been held up as role models of principled athletes. Statues have been erected to them and they've won sporting awards. But none of this happened to Norman in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, they say in the Sydney Olympics of 2000, he was really, you know, a lot of older athletes were invited and given, you know, special honours, and he wasn't even then. I think the Americans invited him to his own Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, it really is interesting about how, you know, our Olympic movement in some ways is a long way behind the times.
Mm. There was a suggestion from some people today that the officials who've come down hard on Damien Hooper, that they might be a bit out of step with the actual IOC officials.
Well, that's kind of hard to judge because, I mean, technically they have a point that the IOC doesn't recognise any flags other than the official flags of the countries concerned. And although the Australian government recognises the Aboriginal flag, the IOC doesn't. So, I mean, I think technically he was probably in the wrong in wearing that T-shirt. But, gee, is it a big deal, really?
Mm-hmm. And so I suppose even though it's an official flag, similarly you wouldn't be able to wear a New South Wales flag, even though that's also an official flag.
No, that's right. You wouldn't, you're not expected to wear any kind of flag. But, you know, you'd think there'd be some kind of cultural sensitivity to the fact that, you know, the Aboriginal flag stands for something really, really important.
Mm. Yeah, and that he's expressing his pride in being Australian, his pride in being an Indigenous Australian. There's a history of this too for Australia, isn't there, with Cathy Freeman?
Yeah, Cathy Freeman carried both the Aboriginal flag and the Australian flag after she won gold medals at in the Canadian Commonwealth Games in 1994, and that caused a huge outcry. I mean, the RSL in Australia got absolutely vitriolic about it. But it's very interesting because by 2000, Cathy had become such an Australian hero, such an Australian icon, that when she won the 400 metres and then carried the Australian flag and the Aboriginal flag again, you know, no one dared really be critical of it.
I mean, it's funny in a way that people try to keep politics and sports so separate, because at the points where they've interceded, it's often turned out to be very positive, hasn't it? You think about apartheid in South Africa.
Yeah, except that, you know, originally it was argued that Australia should go on playing rugby union against South Africa because we had to keep politics out of sport. How they could see that the South African apartheid regime was keeping politics out of sport when they refused to pick black players, you know, boggles the mind. So, but in the end, yes, I mean, it does seem to me that once actually sport actually becomes a focus for debates about race, then it actually can have a really dramatic effect, and it certainly had an effect in South Africa.
Well, I want to talk to you too about Berlin 1936 and Jesse Owens. If that's a bit of politics in sport, it was a pretty good one. Richard Waterhouse is here. So is Alfred in Surrey Hills. Good afternoon to you.
G'day.
Yeah. Now, what do you reckon about Damien Hooper?
Well, I'm an Indigenous person of this country, and I think it was the best thing he's ever done for us to wear the Aboriginal flag. We're really proud. As an Aboriginal person, I was quite proud of that. I mean, Cathy Freeman carried the flag, so I don't see what the difference is. And like the other thing is, I feel like, you know, our people, we're an alien in our own country, so, you know, I always think, well, the Australian flag doesn't represent our people, and neither does our Australian jumpers, so...
Yeah, you don't want him. I mean, the crucial. I agree with a lot of what you say, but you don't want him thrown out too, either. You don't want him to win a medal and then have it stripped, do you?
Well, no, I don't. You know, but I can't see what the big argument is that why he can't wear his, you know, our flag, you know, and still get a medal at the same time.
Good on you, Alfred. Thanks for your call. 1300 222 702 is the number. Now, Richard Waterhouse, back to 1936, Jesse Owens and a Nazi Olympics, which is really all about white supremacy.
Yeah, that's right. The Germans staged the 1936 in Berlin as just a demonstration of the superiority of the Aryan race in inverted commas. And then what happens? But this African American wins four gold medals and demonstrates the total fallacy of this kind of race theory. There are two kind of little footnotes to that, though, is that when Owens went back to the United States in 1936, FDR, the American president, didn't meet him and congratulate him because he was in the middle of an election campaign and feared inviting an African American to the White House might damage his chances in the South. And also in 1968, the IOC actually tried to get Jesse Owens to talk Smith and Carlos out of carrying out that demonstration, which they had wind of.
I mean, it's love. I mean, just to go back to that for a moment, it does seem that Peter Norman was very involved in it. There's one of the curiosities of the photograph is that one of them has the salute with his left hand and the other with his right. And it seems that one of them had, they both agreed to wear black gloves. One of them had forgotten his gloves. And it was actually the Australian who said, look, hey, you got one pair. Why don't you wear one each?
Yeah,
see, that's good old Australian practicality.
That's right. And the idea was that they were actually supposed to form an arch by raising their two hands in the air and form an arch indicating unity. But the pictures you see, they didn't seem somehow to have achieved that.
And it's a lovely photograph, and Peter Norman standing. Of course, there's a mural of it in Newtown in Sydney.
Yes, that's right, which you used to be able to see from the train, but now they've put up a huge wall to prevent sound, so you don't see it as you go by.
Yeah. Well, before we stop talking about particularly the Aboriginal role of in sport, the other great case is Nicky Winmar, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Aborigines became increasingly involved in Australian rules football in the 1980s. I mean, they'd been involved in playing professional AFL since Doug Nicholls in the 1930s, but they became sort of more of them became involved in the 1980s. And the white players, the European players, thought racial vilification was just part of the game, and if you could put Aboriginal players off by racially vilifying them, then so be it. And they had that stupid notion that what happens on the field stays on the field. And there was a particularly vitriolic match between St Kilda, for whom Winmar played for in 1993, and Collingwood. And the Collingwood cheer squad just got into Winmar with racial abuse right through the game. Winmar turns in a man of the match performance, a match-winning performance. And he had enough of it by the end, and he stood on the field, raised his jumper and pointed to his abdomen, basically saying, "I'm black and I'm proud of it." And that is the beginning of a movement to eliminate racism in AFL. And it's come a long way since then. That was an absolutely critical moment in Australian sport.
All right, but politics and sport, the argument still goes on. Hey, Richard Waterhouse, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Richard Waterhouse from the University of Sydney. Black fella, white fella.